All right, let's open up tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we can start back around verse 17. All right, 1 Corinthians 7, 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all the churches. So everybody that's saved has a calling. You're first called to salvation, and then you have a calling. It may not be a call to the pastorate, but you have a calling. It's a high calling of God in Jesus Christ. And then he says, is any man called, being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Is any man called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called, being a servant, care not for it. But if thou mayest, be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, and he goes on to talk about some other things. Let's go ahead and pray there. Now, Father, we come to you tonight, and I mainly just want to illustrate something that you kind of iterated to me here this week. We abide in a special place, and I pray that you might be with us Christians here tonight. If somebody here is lost, pray you deal with their hearts about their need to be in this place. But I pray that you might give us understanding in these things, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me expound this just a little bit. I went ahead and just read it through. Obviously, verse 19, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. So nobody has any need to argue about one or the other, right? But the keeping of the commandments of God. Then it says, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. And then he specifies, art thou called, being a servant, care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. So immediately you see there that there's the servanthood, then there's free. In other words, the servant's not free. Now, if that's a social issue for you, I can only tell you this. In the Word of God, somebody might be that bond servant for various reasons. Crime, debt, war, your country lost, and so your people are servants to the winners, right? It may be an indentured situation, but very commonly, either debt, crime, or an indentured type scenario. But it says there, again, verse 20, let every man abide in the same calling. If thou art thou called, being a servant, verse 21, care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. So if you can be made free, if you're a servant, that's good. You can use that. Verse 22, though, for he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. And likewise also he that is called being free is the Lord's servant. And so, not to emphasize, because this is not a social issue here, but it emphasizes a little bit that social strata deal. Look, a servant's a servant, and a freeman, a master, is a master. And those two aren't going to mingle too much. The servant serves the master. The master is the master of the servant. However, in this case, I mean, it begins to show you that there's something else going on here. Because in verse 22, he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise, also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Now, you can imagine in a stratified society, that might not be the easiest thing to take. That the master has to accept that the servant, is his brother in Christ. You know, you can see that that might cause a little bit of a problem. But notice the specification here, verse 22. He that is called in the Lord. Okay? Now, says that a man is to abide in the same calling wherein he is called. But it's a different mindset than a normal servant because he's also the brother of the master. Now, it doesn't break down everything. He still serves the master, but that master is also made aware that he, though he's free, is in Christ, in the Lord's servant. And I just want you to see there that that might take a little bit of an adjustment of mind for a society that's accustomed to doing things according to those rules, right? 118 times, I draw your attention to verse 22, he that is called in the Lord. In the Lord shows up 118 times in the Word of God. Most of them are in the Old Testament, 72 times. That leaves 46 in the New. And in the Old Testament, men believed in the Lord. They rejoiced in the Lord. They exalted in the Lord. They trusted in the Lord. They hoped in the Lord. They were glad in the Lord. They boasted in the Lord. Rejoiced in the Lord. They delighted in the Lord. And you can see that that's just somebody, you know, either rejoicing or delighting or boasting in God, and that's kind of one thing. But in the New Testament, there's this change. Again, 46 times total, and again, a few times, the admonishment is to trust in the Lord or believe in the Lord or rejoice in the Lord, and that's all fine, but again, this is a little bit like this morning in Sunday school where this is almost all, in Paul. You don't read Peter talking about being in the Lord. Only in Revelation and only in Acts. So again, in Paul, it's Paul's emphasis of being in the Lord, being a place, being a position. And usually Paul's references are positional. In other words, it's telling you that I'm not using in Christ tonight because that really expands things a lot. But Paul's telling you that there are certain things, there's a certain way to be in the Lord. It refers to your and my position in Christ, in the Lord. When you got saved, the Lord baptized you into the Lord Jesus Christ. You're part of His body. You are in the Lord. And what he's doing is, instead of just telling you to believe in the Lord and rejoice in the Lord and all those things, many times he's also admonishing you live consistent with your position. It's a sanctified place. And he reminds them over and over, because in the Lord is a sanctified place, and because you're in the Lord, then your behavior is to be different than most men normally handle this situation. This sanctified place requires a sanctified mindset. And so I just wanted to, you know, that kind of was, you know, played out for me here this week. And again, there's nothing in Peter or James or 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John or Jude about anybody being in the Lord. So this is Pauline. And so, again, Paul, to whom this was all shown, that you are part of the body of Christ, everybody sitting here that's saved, is in the Lord in a way that nobody else is or ever has been. And so with that in mind, it is our position that it's the case. It is a sanctified place. And it ought to be, for you, a sanctified mindset. A whole new outlook on things. I mean, this servant, this master, when this was revealed, that the servant being saved, though a servant and not free, he's still the Lord's freeman. And though the master is saved and he's still the servant's master, he's also the Lord's servant. And so there is now kind of a new way these guys have to learn to look at each other, because the servant is still the master's brother in Christ, and the master is still the servant's brother in Christ. And so I want to just kind of lay all that out carefully for you. Again, this requires a sanctified mindset. The title of the message is A Sanctified Place. And I want to show you some examples, because like I said, most of the references in the New Testament, you know, there are a few, you know, believe in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord, that sort of thing. But a lot of them have to do with you responding to some circumstance or some person in your life, and you respond to them differently because you're in the Lord and they're in the Lord. And that changes everything. And so you have this sanctified place in the Lord where there's supposed to be this sanctified mindset regarding your circumstances and regarding this person. For instance, look in Romans chapter 16. I won't be real long tonight, I don't think. Romans chapter 16. Now, this passage is known for something else in the new versions because it starts out in chapter 16, verse 1. I commend thee unto Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is in Cenchrea. And, you know, a lot of the versions and a lot of the commentators say that servant is a deaconess. And so in many Bibles and in many commentaries, Phoebe is made a deaconess, which, by the way, is totally wrong. So just to acknowledge you, but what I'm really after is in verse 2, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, that you assist her in whatever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer, a helper of many and of myself also. So Paul recommending Phoebe, and he says to them, he says that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, leaving the idea that while Paul's recommending her, there might be other circumstances where they wouldn't receive her if she wasn't in the Lord, if they weren't in the Lord. And you'll notice that they receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. It's that whole fitting thing, that seamliness thing. It's just right for you to receive her because you're in the Lord and she's in the Lord. You otherwise might not receive her. Now, I don't know why they wouldn't. I don't know if she was unlikable. I don't know if she had had a reputation or something like that. I'm not sure. But I just want you to see there that Paul is admonishing them that they receive her in the Lord, because in the Lord is a sanctified place. It changes your behavior towards certain other people who are themselves in the Lord. Because you're in the Lord, you behave differently than you normally would were you not in the Lord. Okay? And because she's in the Lord, you respond to her differently than if she were not in the Lord. It's a sanctified place. It requires a sanctified mindset. Because you're a Christian, there are things, there are people you respond to differently than you would if you were lost and if they were lost. Can you see that? That's the emphasis here with this in the Lord thing. That's what Paul brings across so many times, that because of being in the Lord, this requires you to do something different than you normally would. Now, I'm not advocating here that, you know, you behave yourself, you know, one way in one place and one way or another. I'm just saying that because you're in the Lord, you're behaving in a way, you have a mindset that may not be anything like you would have had towards somebody else or before you were saved. Now, let me give you another indication of this. Look in Colossians, a little jumping around for a little while tonight, but it won't be too long. Colossians chapter 3. Just really brought this to mind, brought this to the fore here this week for some reason, and I was looking for something to preach here tonight earlier in the week, and I already had some of this written down and hadn't really thought about it much since I wrote it down. But boy, you know, it really struck me as I started studying it out. Colossians chapter 3, and you'll notice down in chapter 3, verse 17. Now, the Colossians are saved, and so Paul's writing to saved people. And verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Then it says this, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Now, everybody knows about, the persecution of women and the women's rights movement and all those sort of things. And, You know, you've heard all the stuff expounded about, you know how there are matriarchal societies all through history, all over the world, and where the women ran things and everything. So it's just not right that here in America that, you know, women should be kept under, you know, chained to the stove, pregnant and all that kind of, barefoot and all that kind of stuff. But you'll notice in chapter 3, verse 18, he says, "Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." And I know it grates against a lot of folks, and, you know, there's a whole movement kind of been through Christianity where Christianity reacting, trying to figure out their place when the women's rights movement, you know, moved out and, you know, women's suffrage started out as women's suffrage, then it became the women's rights movement and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, folks say, you know, well, in America, you know, women have always been treated with respect, and that's because of, you know, biblical, you know, influences, and that's true. I mean, in the main, American women are treated far better than women in India or Nigeria, right? I mean, a good woman in Malawi, she can carry 100 pounds on her head without touching it. Just walk along with 100 pounds on her head. I think it's cool. She can't do it, so I don't know what that says. She ain't even tried. I don't know what that says. I'm joking about all that, obviously. But in the end, what's plain is that in the Bible, the wife is supposed to submit herself to her husband. Okay? So it doesn't really matter whether the world got the lesson or not. It doesn't matter in America whether men have always generally treated women better than in the average, you know, society uninfluenced by the Bible. If men treated women like utter slaves here in America, or if America was based on a culture of utter matriarchal, you know, subservience, where the matriarch is the head of the home instead of the patriarch, it doesn't matter, because submitting yourselves unto your own husbands is fit in the Lord. It doesn't matter what the rest of the world does. If it's nowhere else true, anywhere else in the world, it's still fit, it's fitting, it's seemly, it's appropriate in the Lord that the woman submit herself to her own husband. Because in the Lord is a sanctified place. The Lord has set up the family as something that's supposed to reflect His relationship with men and His relationship within the Trinity, with His Son and with Israel and with the church. And so, no matter where else it's stated, whatever else is true, you being in the Lord is a sanctified place, and because your husband is saved, he should have that sanctified knowledge that that's what a woman, that's what you're going to do for him. At the same time, you have to have the sanctified knowledge that he's supposed to be what he's supposed to be, but you're still supposed to submit yourselves unto your own husbands, for it is fit in the Lord. And it's only in the Lord that it's fit. However lost people live, they live. But this is fit in the Lord. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter what your mother-in-law says. What matters is that it is fit in the Lord. And so, again, you see this place as it's a sanctified place that requires specific behavior, no matter what anybody else is doing anywhere else among the 8 billion people in the world. You're a Christian, you're different than most of all of those 8 billion people. And so in the Lord, this is fit, that a woman should submit herself to her own husband. And of course, the husband's job is to be what he's supposed to be, so he doesn't make it a supreme sacrifice for her to follow him. But the fact is that, once again, I'm just setting this forward to you as this matter being a specific place where you are. You abide in a specific sanctified place because you're a Christian. You're in the Lord, and therefore you don't respond the way the rest of the world responds. whichever way they respond, you're doing things for a different reason. Okay, notice this as well. Look in first along these lines, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in a specific place in the Lord, and admonish you. When I give you, and I'm really, this is not a concern because I don't feel like I have to preach to y'all about this, but if I give you medical advice, you don't have to listen to me. Well, you don't have to listen to me anyway. But if I give you medical advice, if I give you, psychiatric advice, if I give you financial advice, if I give you business advice, you're not required to listen to me. But it's a little bit different in verse 12, where we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in a specific place in the Lord and admonish you. Pastors and deacons and leadership in spiritual places, it's not the easiest job in the world, and so Paul admonishes that to know them that are over you. It's not a raw ranking system, a sergeant. Well, he's a major, he's a captain, he outranks him because he's a brigadier general. It's not a hardcore ranking system. But you still should know those that are over you in the Lord that have a responsibility, because it's a specific place. It requires a sanctified mindset. You may not even like who's over you in the Lord, but the Lord didn't ask you whether you liked it. They're over you in the Lord. The Lord's given them a responsibility in the Lord over you, and they have to answer for that. Okay, and so you have to answer for you not treating them with the respect that are over you in the Lord. Can you see how this is so different from anything else we usually ever hear? And the reason it's different is because we believe the book, and when you study in the Lord, there's so many places in the New Testament where these 46 times occurs that Paul is emphasizing that in the Lord, things are different. Okay? Now, if you're in the army, you better submit to your drill sergeant. You really should. That's a really good idea. Or else your life is going to get very uncomfortable. But if you're saved, you need to know them that are over you in the Lord, because that's a sanctified place. They hold a sanctified position in a sanctified place. And you need a sanctified mindset to know that they have your best interests at heart. See what I'm saying? I don't want to just camp there, because I'm not really out to beat up anybody over, spiritual authority or anything. But look at 1 Thessalonians 3, just a page or so back. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And notice this. 1 Thessalonians 3:8. Let's start with 3:7. Therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. He's not asking them to stand fast financially. He's not asking them to stand fast as good conservative Republicans. He's asking them to stand fast in a very different place than that. He's asking them to stand fast in the Lord. Because in the Lord is a sanctified place. He really doesn't care where they are, as far as I can see, politically or anything else. What he cares about is where they are spiritually. And in the Lord, they need to stand fast. It's easy to get that stuff twisted around. You listen to a little bit of talk radio and it starts to work on you a little bit, right? And pretty soon, the conservative viewpoints and all those things, political parties and stuff, you get a little bit antsy and resentful. It's easy to get aboard that train where, if you're not a full-blown 100% all the time patriotic American, you just ain't right. Right? And that's not true, because America is way able to play the dirty dog worldwide just as well as anybody else. And the fact is, they have, historically. I'm just saying that, you know, there's an entire, you know, if you're not careful, you get off into this scenario where, you know, you're supposed to support certain things. And so it's a political thing or a patriotic thing or that sort of thing. I mean, and if you're not careful, you miss the fact that where you're supposed to stand fast, what you're never supposed to compromise is as a soldier in Jesus Christ, in the Lord. That's where you're supposed to stand fast. If you become a politician, you're going to have to compromise. And if you're going to be a super patriot, you're going to have to shade your eyes sometimes. Thank you very much. Yes, you are. But you're called to a sanctified place. You're not called to make it your first worry that the Republican Party is just not what it should be, and that conservative politics is just failing. We have all these, you know, rhino Republicans, you know, doing nothing. They're just as bad as a Democrat. That's not your worry. What you need to concentrate on is standing fast in the Lord. It's in the Lord. So he says that, look in Philippians chapter 4, just to reiterate that point, Philippians 4. And this is all supposed to just emphasize the fact and try to draw the fact that this thing, the way Paul is using in the Lord, is your position in Christ, your standing in Christ, but because that's where you are, the Lord has expectations for how you respond to certain things, how you look at certain things, how you respond to people. It's a sanctified place. And if you're going to do it right, it requires a sanctified mindset where I'm not responding just as a patriot. I'm not just responding as a Democrat or a Republican. I'm not just responding just as a soldier. I'm responding as someone who's sanctified in Jesus Christ and doing what Christ would want me to do. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. That's a sanctified admonition to people standing in Christ. So what you need to do is stand fast in the Lord. That's your prime obligation. Where everybody else is recruiting you to go stand somewhere else, you know, you're going to go be anti-abortion activist. I disagree with abortion, but I ain't going to go stand with a bunch of Catholics. Not. That's not my prime calling. My calling is to stand fast in the Lord, not politically, not financially, not in some other motivational type scenario. I'm called to stand fast in a specific sanctified place, and it requires a mindset where I have to disengage from all my other passions and affections to say, no, I'm a Christian in the Lord, and therefore I'm responding this way to this person or to this situation. Look, if you will, at something else along this line. Look in Philippians, well, Philippians 4 still, because it really hits the fan in verse 2. I beseech Yodius and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, why do you think he said that? That's the names of two ladies. Why do you think he said that? He said that because they weren't of the same mind. They disagreed. I don't know what about. I have no clue. I don't know. But it was enough where an apostle to the Gentiles said, those two women, tell them to make sure that they are of the same mind in the Lord. And the reason he said it is because they weren't of the same mind at all. Okay. But that's a sanctified place. Remind them that they're Christians, that they are called to get along together and to be of the same mind in this specific place in the Lord. Do you know what? In the world, some of us wouldn't even like each other. In fact, all things being honest, we may not like each other right now. Just the clash of personalities and, you know, upbringing or whatever else. But I'm going to tell you something. Because you're a Christian and because he's a Christian or she's a Christian, that changes the whole game. And the Lord says, you listen to me. You make sure you tell those two women that they be of the same mind in the Lord and they don't need to be causing no trouble. Because in the Lord, that's where they're supposed to be. It's a sanctified mindset that comes from having iterated that these are, you know, that they're sanctified in Christ, that they're in one place, they're in the Lord. Something akin to that, and this is using, going outside of in the Lord, I'm going to go to in Christ for just a second, look in Philippians 2, since you're in Philippians, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Okay, that's being in Christ. We don't always have, you know, all men don't always wind up in one accord of one mind. You have your specialty, I have mine, we have to deal with this, and you bring your opinion to it and I bring mine. And, you know, but we're supposed to be one mind in the Lord. We may not agree financially, we may not agree engineering-wise or some other way, but in the Lord, we set that stuff aside because this is a special place. You know, we just had a Super Bowl, and so you have all these guys in locker rooms. They believe all kinds of stuff all over the place and everything, but they put all that aside for team. And the ones that do that best oftentimes with the best team spirit, go on and win championships. Okay, here are a bunch of lost dweebs who are all over the place, financially, socially, just everything in the world. And some of them are absolute dirtbags, and others are decent guys. And here they are in a room, you know, getting dressed and undressed together and playing on a team. And they do it all for team. And Christians have the hardest time doing it because they're in Jesus Christ, because they're in the Lord. So there's that. Let me show you chapter 4 of Ephesians. Ephesians 4:17. There won't be too many more of these. I'm trying to just bring out to you that this phrasing is Paul, not Paul saying, you know, oh yeah, yeah, in the Lord, you know. No, he's saying this place is a sanctified special place that you've been placed, and therefore you respond to people differently. Therefore you respond to situations differently because you're in the Lord. I have entrusted you with this. This is part of your stewardship. You're in the Lord, so act like it. Look in Ephesians 4, and if I can ever find it, 4, chapter 4, verse 17. We saw this morning in Sunday school, I think. This I say, therefore, and testify. Notice he's testifying in the Lord. He's testifying to Ephesians who are in the Lord, and so they're supposed to be receiving this as people in the Lord. I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, okay, who being past feeling have given themselves over. Okay, don't be like that. Don't walk like them. Don't walk like the rest of the 8 billion Gentiles on the face of this earth. Don't walk like them. Walk like this, because I'm testifying to you in the Lord, because you're in the Lord. You walk different in the Lord than you walk out there. I'm not admonishing two different kind of walks here for any of us. I'm simply saying that because you are saved, you're supposed to walk different than them. I don't know what mega church people don't get about that, but they don't get it. The average Christian doesn't get it anymore. they want to be just like the world instead of walking opposed to it. But the Bible's plain. All right, look in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. And there's another one here. Ephesians 5, 8. And let's go back to verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Okay, you are light in the Lord. And I take that. I mean, you know, if you take me out into public and, you know, set me loose to bring light to a, you know, quirky political situation, I'm not your guy. Just not. I don't have any answers. If you take me into a legal scenario to untangle a mess legally, I'm not your guy. I have no light to shine on the legal system. But in the Lord, I'm called to be light. And you're called to be light there. If you have anything to offer this world, I suggest you don't offer it politically. I suggest that you don't offer it in some sort of a social setting. You know, trying to fix the social stratification of our nation, our culture. Forget about that stuff. You're supposed to be light in one place. If you don't shed light anywhere else, more power to you. You're supposed to be light in the Lord. That is a sanctified place. It's a sanctified calling. It should be special to you that God wants you to turn on your light in Christ and shine as brightly as you can. Try to influence somebody in, trying to help somebody else that's already there. But you're called to be light in a specific place. It requires a specific mindset in the Lord. See what I'm saying? Look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 6. It even applies to kids. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, in a lot of places in the world, kids don't obey their parents at all. They used to obey their parents in America, but no more. In the main, right? Okay, so this applies even to kids. Children, obey your parents in a specific place in the Lord, for this is right. It doesn't matter whether your friends don't obey their parents or not. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the whole world is doing something else. It's right for a Christian kid to obey their parents, because if they're saved, they too abide in a specific place. They see their parents' faults and failures and all those sort of things. It's still their calling to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's a sanctified place in the Lord, and the world doesn't care whether it's right or wrong. But I do, because I'm saved. Okay? Look at chapter 6, verse 10. 6:10. Finally, my brethren. Now, this applies like being steadfast, but be strong. Where? In the Lord and in the power of His might. You're called to be strong in the Lord. Now, once again, notice this quirky context, because going back to verse 5, you have once again kind of where we started with the main text. You have servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Okay? So servants and masters are admonished, and then at the same time they're admonished, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Well, if the servant gets too strong in the servant-master relationship, it's going to cause problems, right? Because the servant is subservient to the master. If he's a really strong servant, has a real strong will, then there's going to be problems with the master. But he's not being admonished to be strong as a servant. He's admonished to be strong in the Lord. The master's admonished to be strong in the Lord. It's a sanctified place requiring a sanctified mindset. Notice 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. again, another verse we saw today. Last verse in the chapter. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not vain in the Lord. You know, it has to do with your labor. You're supposed to labor in that place, in the Lord. See, I work my fingers to the bone. I have a job. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you're supposed to have a labor in the Lord, in that sanctified place. You're supposed to be doing what you're doing for the Lord, in the Lord, with more zeal and with more stewardship, with more faithfulness and with more energy than you do anything else down here as far as making money or how you play your favorite sport or whatever else. You're called to labor in the Lord. And that's supposed to be, that's a sanctified place because not everybody gets to work for the Lord. Lost people don't work for the Lord. Come into a Bible-believing church, you're admonished in all kinds of things that you can do. You should be doing something for the Lord for the simple fact that you're in the Lord and the Lord needs some things done. But it's a sanctified place requiring a sanctified mindset, because most folks that undertake to do something for God, a lot of times their mindset's not sanctified at all. They're going to do it as long as they're successful, or as long as it's fun, or they like starting things, but they're pretty bad at finishing anything. And that's not what the Lord's after. We're called to in verse 58, abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, sometimes you despair because it seems like you're not getting anything done. Well, what are you doing in the Lord? Because if you're doing it in the Lord for Him, it doesn't matter what results you get. It doesn't matter what results you get. You're doing it in Him, for Him. If He called you to do it, aren't we called with a holy calling, a high calling of God in Jesus Christ? All of us have it. You should labor in the Lord. It's a sanctified place requiring a sanctified mindset. I owe Him a lot more than I owe my boss down here in the world. A look, if you will, and one more thing along this line, Colossians 4. Colossians chapter 4. And I'm just about done. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17. Now, it's talking to a specific guy. I say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in a specific place in the Lord. He got something to do in the Lord that thou fulfill it. Okay? You need to make sure and fulfill it. Have you been given something to do in the Lord? Now, let me just move to Philippians chapter 3 real quick. And we'll be done here in just a second. Philippians chapter 3. Now, I don't know if this is making sense to y'all, but it stood out like, you know, a fluorescent lighting to me as I studied through it. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, a verse that you know really, really good if I were in Philippians instead of Colossians. 3:14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, okay, in Christ Jesus. Okay, that's in the Lord. It's kind of weird that you have all these, I think there's 78 occurrences of Christ, of in Christ in the New Testament, and most of them don't really apply, you know, quite the same way as what I'm looking at here specifically in the Lord, but this does. It says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in a specific place, requiring a specific mindset. And if you have a mindset like the rest of the world about stuff, you'll fall off of this pressing towards this mark so quick it'll make your head spin. Because you don't achieve in Christ the way you achieve in the world. And so you have to stay after it. Look, if you will, in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, there it is, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. In Jesus Christ, it was laid up in store for you a long time ago. It's not saying that you were ordained to get in Christ a long, long time ago. It's saying that it was laid up for you there. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, you receive that purpose and that grace that was given you in Christ Jesus. And it's supposed to be a sanctified place, requiring a sanctified mindset, both in dealing with people, other people, and the way that you look at what you're doing, the way you look at circumstances. You're not supposed to think like the world thinks, because your mind should be where the Lord has placed it, in Christ, in the Lord. A sanctified place, a sanctified mindset. Let's have a word of prayer. Now, Father, we ask your help here. I know that